Okay, I was taking up a completely different topic for a couple of days. Shabbos Kuf Chaf Beis Amel. Okay, he wants to. Someone want to read Mishnah?
That's for the Yisrael, he's not allowed to use it.
Okay, so if a Nachri lights a Nair, so the Mishnah says that the Yisrael can be Mishnamish with the Or. But if he lit it for the Yisrael, then it's Usser. Right? Rashi says, Usser Midrabanan. It's Usser Midrabanan. So what's it's Usser Midrabanan. It's not necessary at this point. All right, so the Ron explains, Vim Bishvil Yisrael Usser. He says that what? Pirish. You want to continue? And the Ron on Memvav. Okay. So the Ron says, Afal Gav, the Savalele Rabbi Meir, the Mvashal B'Shabbos B'Shoge Yochal, right? Vafilu Bo Bayom. So the question is, even though we say what? Even though Rabbi Meir holds that if a Jew cooks on Shabbos, right? Say a Jew does a Malacha on Shabbos. And he does it B'Shogeg. Right, so what does that mean, b'shogeg? It means, shogeg means either he didn't know it was Shabbos, or he didn't know it was Usser. Right, so he wasn't intentionally violating Shabbos. He can eat it. He can eat it, that's what Rebbe Meir holds. Even that day, he can eat it. V'amrinon derav mod l'tamidov Rebbe Meir, k'diz perak kama d'chulin. Right, and that's the way we hold. We hold like Rebbe Meir. Okay, so he says, Afilu hachi machmri tfei b'maleches nochri b'maleches Yisrael. Yeah. We're more strict about a malacha of a nochri than a malacha of a Yisrael. Why? D'b'maleches Yisrael b'shogeg leka l'migzar atu mezed. Shalo nechshedu Yisrael ala Shabbosos. Yeah, he says why? Because on the malacha of a Jew, if a Jew did a malacha on b'shogeg, so there's no reason to be gozer. That what? There's no reason to be gozer that he can't enjoy the benefit of that malacha. Why? Because what would be the chashash? Why would you make a gzera like that? So that he doesn't do it b'mezid. Right? But there's no chashash that he's going to do it b'mezid. Because we don't suspect the Yisrael that he's intentionally going to violate Shabbos. Right? Ovo b'melechas nochri ikal amigzar shema yargilenu b'kach l'shabbos acheres. Yeah. That what? That he'll accustom him to do it for the next Shabbos?
Well, he's going to tell the guy, do it for me next Shabbos,
right?
Right.
He's saying that what? So what's the Ron's answer? So what's the Ron saying here? Yeah, what are you saying, Johnny? Now, let's take a look at the Ron again. So what's he saying? No, he's saying, what's the nature of the gezerah? If you would be gozer, right? What's the inyan over here? Right? Now, the Jew didn't do anything. The Jew didn't do anything. The guy did a malacha. So what's the problem? Right? So what's the problem? Yeah. Correct? What's the problem? So he's saying, you see, by a Jew, if a Jew does a malacha, it's not a b'shogeg, it's not us to take the food, right? So he's saying the nature of the gzeira is what? What type of gzeira are we dealing with over here? What's the nature of this topic? That would say that if something was done b'isser, right? If something was produced by a malacha on Shabbos, So to to benefit, to enjoy, and to use that product, right, is what do we worry? What would we be worried about? That if a person uses the product of malacha, so he's going to come to see the malacha as not being problematic itself, and he'll engage in the malacha itself. Because that would be the reason for the gzera. If you make a gzera, so you'll say, if food is cooked on Shabbos and a person partakes of it, so he's going to associate the product and the cause, right? You're going to associate the product and the cause in your mind, and you're going to say that the problem would be, a person would say, if I can have freshly cooked food on Shabbos, then the cooking itself is, he's already entered into his realm of Shabbos, the idea of cooking, right? That would be the problem. As the nature of the gzeir is that there's an association of the product and the cause. So to stay away from the maisa of cooking, we wouldn't want to let somebody have the product of the cooking. Correct? So you're saying that's by Yisrael. By Yisrael, you don't have that problem. If it's a maisa of the Jew, you don't have that problem. Why? We're not choshish for something like that. If he did it b'shogeg, we're not choshish for something like that. Why? The guy is going to. He's saying in the Jew's mind, he recognizes the difference between shogeg and mezuzah, right? And in his mind, he knows already that there's a category of. He knows there's a category of malacha, right? That distinction exists in his mind already, shogeg and mezuzah. So he already knows that when the food, he already knows if somebody cooked on Shabbos b'shogeg, That's a separate type of an action. He's not going. We're not choshesh by Yisrael that because he took the product of a maisa shogeg, he's going to just disregard Shabbos b'mezid. It's already a fixed distinction in his mind. It's not. There's no confusion between those two. No confusion. There's no chance of confusion between those two categories. So there's no reason to be gozer the shogeg atu mezud. We're not worried that a guy is going to, for instance, like we had a case recently by Bittel, by Mvatl Nisla Chachila. I don't know if we did it in the Gemara, but certain cases where you'll say that if we allow a shogeg to do it, so then maybe a guy will do it b'mezid as like a trick, right? He'll just pretend he was a shogeg so he can get it. So we're not choshesh that the person. We're not choshesh for that type of a rishus, right? We're not choshesh that Yisrael is going to say, well, if he's going to try to take advantage of this idea of shogeg and pretend that he was just a shogeg on Shabbos. We're not worried about that. Because in terms of leading to the Isser, you don't have that problem. Because you allow a person to benefit from something that was done b'shogeg, so you almost can't intrinsically, it's almost impossible, right, to go from shogeg to mezuzah. Because shogeg means you forgot, right? So what's the guy going to do? He says, because I ate something, because I was able to eat something when somebody did a malacha by accident, how could that lead to doing a malacha b'mezuzah? Right? Yeah, at worst, maybe it'll be another shogeg. Right? It can't be amazing. But, and we're not worried that if you allow somebody to do that, he's going to start pretending. Or there's going to open up the door to pretending. Right? So there's no reason to be go there. Yeah. Second. But he's saying over here, what's the problem? Over here, what's the problem? I mean, it sounds from the Ran, you're worried that the guy is going to do it for you next Shabbos, right? if we allow him to have it, if we allow you to that what? If he does it for the Yisrael, in Bishul Yisrael is Aser. Why? That's the problem. Why?
Because you're going to do it then?
Because you're going to be Margil. What do you say? Yargilenu b'kach l'Shabbos Acheres.
Right, and like Johnny Rune read in the Tosefta, that you're going to do it with him. Like you're just going to start doing it. Because if you're going to say that it's just that you're worried that he's going to do it for you, then it's just a zero on a zero.
Well, the problem is if you're going to say you're worried that he's going to do it for you, so why do you have to worry? I mean, he did it for you now. You don't, in other words, if that's the reason, then right now he did it for you. You don't need to say, if he did it for you, you can't have it because he might do it for you. Right?
Yes.
It's the same thing. Can't say, you can't be worried about the same thing. So what does it mean? It means you're going to basically get him to do things for you.
Isn't it the shogeg? Yeah, I thought you were saying...
No, this is not shogeg. This is the guy did it.
Yeah, but didn't the guy do the shogeg or something like that?
The shogeg? I mean, the guy, what do you mean?
What does that mean?
The shogeg was the Yisrael, right?
What's that?
Right, shogeg was the Yisrael.
Now, is he saying, when he says Ika L'Migzar, he says, because he's saying like this, if the guy did it completely for himself, it's Mutter. Right? And if the guy does it for you, it's Aser. So, but there's no real Iser. But in terms of, but in other words, what you see, he's saying like this. In terms of saying, he's saying, there's two ways to look at why it's Aser. Right, it's either usher because you're relating to the malacha. He said that's what he's trying to go through. He's trying to say it's not that it's usher because since he did it for you, then it's like you're relating to the maisa of the malacha. And that would be a chashash that if we let you have the product of a malacha that's done for you, you might engage in it too. So there's no inyan like that over here. Because even by the Yisrael himself, we're not worried that if he has his own even if he has from his own malacha, we're not worried he's going to engage in malacha.
What's this case?
This case is where the guy does it for you. The guy sees you and he cooks up food for you. You didn't ask him, but he cooks it for you, right? So he's saying, why are we more chosh? Why are we gozer over here that you can't have it? That what? Shema Yargilin B'kach. L'Shabbos, what are you saying? Shema Yargilin B'kach. L'Shabbos Acheres. Now, his point is like this. Let's get down to the basic point of here. Forget about the Gzeres L'Gzeres. Don't worry about Gzeres L'Gzeres. Okay?
It doesn't sound like a
Mezid
case, right?
What's that?
It doesn't sound like you saw that a case of Mezid, right?
There's the only problem over here. The question is like, why should it be Usher? I didn't do anything. That's the basic question, right? I didn't do anything. Guy did it for me, so what's the problem? Right? I didn't do anything. So what's the problem? So he says, so he's saying there's two cases where you're saying, by where is Yisrael cooked by accident? So he also didn't do he didn't do a malacha b'mezid, so why can't it over there? It's not a problem, right? Because we're not choshesh, you got to look at the mice that we're worried about. It says the mice of a mezid is not something that we're choshesh on. But over here, what's the mice that we're worried about? We're worried that you must say, he's saying, you're worried you're going to put him up to it for the next time. Right? That you're going to accustom him to doing it for you. So it'll turn out that you have like you're going to create a situation where next week you'll indicate to him that you want something, right? You see the Pearson the Sefta says he's going to be marba b'shvilo on the bottom of the you'll say it's exera l'exera.
he's doing it for you?
In the original case is he's doing it for you, but the point over here is the assumption in the Ran is that if malacha just happens, so why should it be usur for me to use it? I didn't do anything, right? In other words, there's no intrinsic idea that anything that came about through a maisa that you can't do is automatically usur. That's not the problem here. The problem is we're not going to let you have it because if we let you have it, he's saying you might do something that you're not allowed to do, right? So he's showing you that sometimes that where the chashash is a real iser doraisa, meaning to say, if you eat the product of your own maisa malacha, the Jew is capable of having a maisa malacha. A guy is not capable of maisa malacha. So if it's from your maisa malacha that was shogeg, there's no chashash that you're going to come to mezid, right? So there's no necessity to assert over there. Even though over there, he's trying to show you, even though over there it really had the shame of a maisa malacha, because it was done by Yisrael b'shogeg, so it had the in terms of the quality of the maisa, it was really a maisa that was a chil Shabbos, but over there we don't make a gzera, because the whole problem over here is not a problem of what was done, it's a problem of what might be done. You understand? If you would assess the two cases, a Jew doing a malacha by accident on Shabbos and a guy cooking for a Jew on Shabbos, if you would assess the actions in terms of the actions themselves, which one is worse? The Jew's action is definitely worse, because the Jew is chayev in the mitzvah of Shabbos and the guy has nothing to do with Shabbos. Right, by the Jew, there really was an asiyas malacha. So he's trying to. So the Ran is trying to point out over here that this iser doesn't come from the nature of the maisa that was done. It's not a matter of a more chomer maisa is going to have a gzera. Right, it's not a gzera on what was done. The whole thing is in terms of what might come to be. So in terms of what might happen, it turns out that the severity of the malacha of a Jew b'shogeg, of a Jew on Shabbos, is something that intrinsically we're not worried. If you let a person have that the food from that maisa, we're not worried he's going to engage in the maisa of the mezid. So although the maisa itself is more chomor because it was a Yisrael who has a real iser malacha, but is for the same reason we're not worried about the next time the guy's going to do a b'mezid. But over here, even though the maisa is really not a malach at all, right? But it's the type of thing that a person doesn't really feel that it's terribly wrong to do, to ask the guy to do it for you, or to hint to him to do it for you. So we're worried if you're involved in that thing to any degree, that you're gonna do it yourself. Not the malacha, you're gonna do the accustoming the guy to help you. You're gonna make a Shabbos guy.
What's the problem with that though?
That's a separate Amir Lakam. This is the Rabban of Amir Lakam.
You're saying you do Amir Lakam?
Yes.
That's not what he said though. Say that.
Says Yagilenu. He says Yagilenu. You're gonna accustom him to this. It's gonna be like an unstated shlichas.
Isn't anybody like
that? Huh?
Isn't anybody that?
No. No, he's really doing it on his own. He's doing it on his own. Now he's gonna come in and he's gonna see that he's gonna look for things that you want to be done, and you're going to be it's going to be some sort of a. You're going to be more proactive in getting him to do things. Yeah. Shema yagi lenu avikach. Now, my point is, the Ran is setting it up like this, that we're going to be gozer on a certain result, because to allow you to partake of a certain result will induce you to do a certain thing. There has to be something that's usher for you to do that we're preventing you from. Right? There has to be something that's usher for you to do that we're worried about. Okay? Okay, so practically speaking, there are heterim for the tzibor on a the Shabbos guy, the proverbial Shabbos guy Yon is asking about. So b'mok for a mitzvah of the tzibor, there are shitas that are matir and amir lakum. As midrabbanan, you're not allowed to have a guy do malacha at your behest. But there are shitas that hold, the Rishonim that hold that for a mitzvah, for the rabbim it's mutter. So that's why that's what people rely on in the shuls, you know. But otherwise you can't. Otherwise it would have to be only on a we say that's called a shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah. That if to ask a non-Jew to do a drabbanon, if there's a mitzvah involved, like Onik Shabbos, that would be mutter. But other than that, it's usher. So here are the cases of the rices. We're talking about cases of the rices. Okay? So anyway, so that's the setup. Let's put it like this. Now, as he's saying, so what's the difference between if he did it for himself or if he did it for you? Right? What's the difference if he did it for himself or if he did it for you? Right? Oh, and by the way, that's why he says that there's another result from this, that if a guy does a malacha for you on Shabbos, when can you benefit from it? Okay, when can you benefit from it? So that's halacha says you have to wait kidei sheyasu. You have to wait the amount of time after Shabbos. You have to wait after Shabbos the amount of time it took him to do it. Okay, so if a guy baked you a bread on Shabbos, right, so then you, not only can you not have it on Shabbos, but you have to wait the amount of time it would take for the amount of time it took for it to bake. Why? Because you don't want to gain, you can't gain any benefit from his malacha that was done on Shabbos, because then you were worried you're going to ask him, you're going to be margul him for next Shabbos. In other words, let's look at it like this. Let's say it takes an hour to bake the bread, right? So if you can have the bread right after Shabbos, so we're worried that an hour before Shabbos ends next week, you're going to get him ready so that you can have the bread right after Shabbos. Because you can't have any hanah from his Malachas Shabbos. Even after Shabbos, you can't have any hanah from his Malachas Shabbos. Because it's not really an inyan of a chashash that you're going to do a maisa malacha. It's an inyan that you're going to, if you're nene from his work on Shabbos, you're going to try to bring it about next time. Right? You're going to try to bring it about next time. Yeah. Have to wait another hour. So Lamaisa, it's a practical shaila if you have like a city that mostly is Jews. So then we say, that was what the first round was talking about. If you have a city that's mostly Jews, so then you say when a non-Jew proprietor is making food, it's considered like he's making it for the Jews. So like you have like the Dunkin' Donuts over here. Like assuming if most of their business was Jewish, so then you'd have to wait an hour after Shabbos before you could have the donuts. Even though they're not doing it for you, but they do it for the rove. That's what they consider. A store is considered to be working for the rove because they're the public is there. They're working for the public. So if most of the public is Jewish, so it's considered like a being done for a Jew. Okay. So anyway. So the gzeira is still. There's still no gzeira though if the guy does it for himself, right? Because it has to still in the format, it has to be part of the form. Notice it has to be the form of what you would be afraid of what you would be doing. You understand? It has to still have the general character of what we're afraid you're going to do. You understand? So what do I mean by that? I mean by that is like this. That what are we afraid you're going to do? We're afraid you're going to induce him to do it for you. Right? So therefore we say that even if he did it for you without your asking, that's already the type of maisa, that's the type of action that we're worried about. You understand? But if he did it for himself, that has nothing, that has no relationship to what we're worried about. You understand? Now, is him doing it for you is like that is the effect of the maisa of asking him. You understand? So that's how the gzera works. That since we're afraid that he's going to, we're afraid that you'll ask him for you. So then if you if you get that result, even without having done the maisa, then it's usher. But if he did it for himself, that's not something you could ever ask him to do for you at all. So that's not, there's no reason to be gozer or something like that. Right? That's like a different, that's a qualitatively different thing. The gzera is only going to be when it has the same character, but it doesn't have the same cause. He did it spontaneously for you. But doing for you is already in the category of the maisa that we're worried about. Right? You understand what I'm saying?
That was all part of the original?
No, the gzera doesn't go to the most general category of things done by a goy on Shabbos. Right? It goes down, it only goes to the very same type of activity that we're worried about. We're worried about you getting him to do things for you. So we say, since we're worried about you getting him to do things for you, right? So that's a particular case of things being done for you. So then all things done for you are usher. Even when you didn't get him to do it. You understand? Because it's the same, in terms of the mice, it's really the same, from his point of view, from his action, it's the same. So if he does something for you, we're afraid you're going to replicate that by getting him to do something for you. But if he does something for himself, it has nothing to do with you. Yeah?
Does he have to have the dot?
Okay. All right, let's go a little further than Mishnah. So that's the Nachrish Hidlik is in there. So, what? And then the Gemara has a few, the Mishnah has a few other cases. What else? Mile Mayim Lahashkos Behemto. If he fills up water to give his cattle to drink, right? So then the Jew can give his cattle a drink afterwards, right? But if he did it for the Jew, then it's also usher. What else? Go ahead. Also, Nachri Kevesh, Leirid Bo. If he built a ramp to walk down, so then you can walk down after him. Right? But if he did it for the Yisrael, then it's Aser. And that was the case with Ram Gamliel and the Zakenim. They were coming on a boat, and the guy made a ramp to go down on, so they went down after him. And otherwise, they couldn't leave the boat. Right? Okay, let's go. So take a look at the sources here. Mishtamish Yisrael Ora. So he says like this: V'lo gazrinan shema yadlik ki de gazrinan peiros hanoshin shema yalav yitlosh ubemashkin shazavu shema yischot. So Tosa has a good question. He says like this. There are two gezeros that exist on Shabbos that don't have anything to do with someone doing them. Let's say a fruit falls off of a tree, right? If a fruit falls off of a tree, so can you eat it on Shabbos? Forget about the muksa question. Or if juice drips out of a fruit, can you drink it on Shabbos? So over there we say no. Why? Because you say if we let you eat the fruit, you might go ahead and pull off another one. Okay. And if we let you drink the juice, you might not realize, you might not think about it, you might squeeze some more. Okay. So Tosafot's question is, why don't you say the same thing over here? That if we let you use the light that was lit on Shabbos, why doesn't this have the same tzura of the gzera? Why don't we say, just like you can't have a fruit that fell off the tree because you might pick a new one, you can't read by the light that was lit on Shabbos because you might light a different one. So it seems to be like against the Ran law, right? So what does he say? He says, "Mishum deschita v'tzli shehem kalam lasos, v'adam lohot achareim l'fi shehem devar achila." So he says two things. Picking a fruit and squeezing juice are very easy things to do. And they're things that people run after. Right? They're very quick to do. Because they have to do with food. So what's he saying? I mean, that's what this whole sugi is about. Like how the nature of these gzeros. So what's he saying over here? He's saying you gotta look at a different factor over here.
Should it be?
Right. Now, this is quite, let's just get to it. Now, this question is, sometimes we have a gzeira even on a malacha that was just done mamela, right? Even a malacha that was just done by itself. Nobody did it at all. If a fruit falls off of a tree, we say you can't have that fruit. But nobody did any malacha there at all. So you see that there's a certain tzura, there's a certain format of gzeira where we say, don't engage in the product of the malacha per se, because you might come to do it on your own, right? You might pick you're standing under the apple tree, you pick up an apple off the floor, and we're worried we're gonna pick up an apple off the tree, right? So why don't you say the same thing by the guy? So just negate the guy, forget about the guy. It just has the tzura of a product that was created on Shabbos. So why don't we say if we let you engage in this, you're going to forget about the malacha itself. So what does he say?
It seems like the answer is it's not the product alone that is going to result in the person engaging in the prohibited process, but It's the product along with a certain like inclination of the person, that he's going to be. It's going to make him do it.
Right. Well, he's saying two things. He says two things. He says it's dvarim kalim, right, and adam is lohot acharem. The things that are very easy to do, and what, and people are very motivated. Correct. Yeah, but I mean, the problem though is, can we define these things? Are these just like judgments, like just like weighing out factors? Is there like a class of, can we define like a class of malacha that he's talking about? Or is it just sort of take a survey, take a study, and we say these things we see people do, these things we see people won't do? See, I think what he means is like this, that what's the type of gzeira that we're talking about? We're going to say that you can't have the fruit that fell off the tree, you can't have a fruit that was detached from a tree, right? Because you might detach it yourself. Correct? That's his question. So why do you say the same thing? You can't enjoy the light of the candle because you might light the candle itself. Correct? Okay, so what's his answer? So I think his answer is like this. I think he's saying like this. Ready? We're going to try a little definition here. Yona? Okay. Question is, can we define these malachos differently? So he's saying like this, that there are certain, what are you really saying when you say don't have the fruit that fell off of the tree because you might eat it, you might come to pick one? So he's saying that type of a gzera is saying don't involve yourself in the product per se, because you might come to do the malacha that produced it. Saying in order to have that kind of a gzeira, the maisa and the product have to be, in a certain practical sense, synonymous. In other words, there has to be a certain sense that I can say the maisa of eating the fruit basically is no different than picking the fruit. As I say, don't eat the fruit because I might come to pick it. He says that's only appropriate in cases where the maisa malacha is kal. What does he mean by that? It means to say there are different kinds of activities. Sometimes the end product, right, the end process itself is really, sometimes the product, the way to produce the cheftza is really a very minimal action, and it's somewhat subsumed under the general category. What I mean to say is like this. What's the guy doing basically? He's eating, right? And what is the malacha? The malacha is really nothing more than readying the food for eating. You understand? There's no real creative process of detaching a fruit from a tree. You're not making something. You're not producing something. It's not its own separate activity. You understand? Sometimes, in order to get a product, you have to engage in a whole separate activity. If I want a ramp, right, I have to engage in building. Building is its own involvement. It's a completely separate involvement. And only really after I'm done with building can I benefit from what I did. Okay, but it's really like a separate stage. It's viewed in your mind as its own involvement. Okay, there's the building, and then there's the using of the product. Or there's the making the fire, and then there's the using of the fire. Conceptually, in your mind, they're distinct categories. Right? Using a fire is not an extension of the maisa of making the fire. You understand? The maisa of making the fire is one complete activity, and it finishes when the fire is produced. Then you get to sit back and enjoy the fire. You understand? In terms of maise adam, there's an intrinsic break between making and using. Okay?
What about the water?
Which gives the water?
Strong water.
Alright, hold on. We'll go. But he says, but by the cases of achila, it's not really like that. It's not really like that. The taking of the apple off of the tree is really is a maisa that's kal. What does he mean that it's kal? He means it doesn't really produce something in the same way as these other activities do. It's really just a continuous action of bringing it to achila. It's one long process of the achila. Really itself is a continuous action from the picking to the eating. Doesn't require a break. There's no like production of the fruit and then eating of the fruit, right? So he says, in those, that's why he's distinguishing. He says in activities where you're drawn to the overall activity because it's achila, and it's really the maisa of the malacha is really viewed like a continuous activity up to the achila, then it's roi to be gozer the achila because of the malacha. You understand? Because we can really put it all on one long continuous scale. So it basically, the achila would, in eating the, having the fruits would really be like part of a process that continue, that in small steps, that really in a continuum, began with the picking. You understand what I'm saying? Chaim, you understand what I'm trying to get at? Adam, you know what I'm trying to get at here? He says, but that's not the same thing with these other malachos. So that's why, to put it simply, I'm saying like this. The only time it's roi to be gozer on the product because of the maisa is only when, in the view of the Adam, they are one continuous action. You understand? It's only when they are viewed as one continuous action, because there's no real product, there's no real production, and the person is very quick to do it. So he's going to see the fruit, and he's just going to everything's going to be part of that achila. I'm not sure what the lohat part is in the end. The lohat sounds like he's saying that there's a reason. The kal sounds like he's saying definitively. It's the kal sounds like I'm trying to find the kal. The lohat apparently is he's saying there also has to be a. Since you're very interested in it, the point is like this. This is the way I'm trying to put it. I'm trying to say like this, that in order to not have to make the gzera, we have to say that there's a break between in the person's mind. There's something that's going to stop him from engaging in the malacha. Right, so if the product and the production are very different, then okay, the guy's gonna want light, but to start scratching matches is a totally different activity. So that in the maisa is not something that we're worried he's going to do a different maisa. If I'm enjoying light, is not a maisa of making fire. They're different. So that's intrinsically not going to be a problem. Or if it's something that a person is not really interested in, he needs a lot of motivation to do. So we're not worried that if he's doing if he's enjoying the product, he's going to fall into doing the production. But where he views picking as really just part of his eating, and the eating is enticing, and he sort of loses himself in that activity, then it's roi to be gozer. So you're saying you need those two things. Those two things are the reasons why we go there on the fruits and the juices. The person looks at squeezing an orange like pouring out of a container. He doesn't look at it like a whole separate production. And it's the type of thing that once he drinks a little juice, he gets thirsty, just wants a little more. He doesn't think about what's coming next. So you understand, it has to be that the achila and the product and the production have to become together. I mean, lighting of a ner certainly in the time of the Tanayim was not a simple thing. I mean, you had to get the oil, you had to get the wick, you had to not just any wick, it had to be good wick, and it's a whole process of lighting. And then you set it up and you make it right, and then it's like building a fire. It's like a whole production. You ever build a fire in Brooklyn? It's not a continuous. There's no. I guess the point I'm trying to say is like this: the maisa of the enjoyment is not a continuous maisa of the production. But by food, but by the picking, it is. Imagine the guy. He's just. What's the difference really? Taking an apple off the ground and taking it off of the tree in terms of the maisa of bringing it to your mouth. It's basically the same. Just one happens to include a malacha and one doesn't. But looking at a reading by a candle is a completely separate activity from igniting a fire. You understand? That's what he means by kal.
What about the water case?
What's the water case? You ever draw water?
In Brooklyn, yeah. Trick.
What's the malacha by the water?
Well, it's carrying. That's
right. So it means that the well was there was a rishus harabim, right? And the well was a rishus yachid. So what would they do? They have to draw the water and pour it out for their animal, right? So that's not, so what's the malacha there? I mean, the malacha there is hotzah. Malacha there is hotzah. So what's he saying? So maybe that's why he's trying to say the two things. That it's not dvar achila. Over there, it's not dvar achila. The person's not lohat acharav. Lohat acharav means once you engage in the thing, you're automatically drawn into the you're automatically drawn into it. No pun intended. But by the water, you're not going to be drawn into it. But the thing is also by the animal, you have to realize by the animal, Sammy, by the animal you have to do hotzah to get the animal water. Right? You don't have to do hotzah to get a drink from that bar. You can just jump down and drink. That's what Tosis mentions later. Now, there's a difference. There is a difference. By the animal, the only way to get your animal to drink from the bar is to draw it from the bore and pour it out into the trough. So if you were to drink from it, it doesn't necessitate any malacha on your part to drink from it. It's not like the peros. The only way to eat that fruit is to do the maisa of tlisha. But over here, it's not necessarily, this is not the same. You don't have to, we'll see. That's machlokas later, maybe. We'll have to see.